The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Who now has the best weapons in the NFL? That and the best players left who'll be drafted tonight, second and third rounds on ESPN. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'll get to those topics coming up in this hour of the Will Cain Show. But let's, if we might, revisit a little bit of the action from last night. Let's do it with our ESPN NFL reporter and host of NFL Matchup, and my friend Sal Palantonio is on the phone line. What's up, Sal Pal?
Hey, Will Cain, I'm ready for fantasy football on Sunday morning, I tell you that.
All right, we got a few more skill players left to assign to some teams before we start analyzing the fantasy impacts. But we're off and running, man. We're off and running. I'm looking forward to it, too. This is what I'd say, both of our teams closest, let's say closest to our attention, added to those skill positions last night, the Cowboys and the Eagles. The Cowboys got CeeDee Lamb to drop to them at 17. The Eagles took Jalen Reagor. I just had an analyst from Bleacher Report on a little bit earlier, Sal, and he said he was surprised that the Eagles took Reagor and surprised he thinks, and you would know better than anyone, so we're going to ask you this, they were looking to come up. Were they looking to trade up last night? Did they have their eyes on a particular receiver? What was the goal for the Eagles last night?
They have been trying to trade up for a while, Will. They had been very aggressive in conversations with teams, but they couldn't get anybody to dance at the price that they were willing to pay. I know they had conversations with a number of teams between 11 and 21, but I don't think that the Jets wanted to move all the way down to 21. I think the Jets were content on picking a top player there. And the Eagles didn't want to mortgage too much draft capital to go up. And I actually think that was a smart move. I think the Eagles need to get cheaper, younger, and faster at just about every position. They had the oldest roster in the NFC last year. And they certainly are salary cap handicapped right now because of the Carson Wentz contract. And they have a lot of money tied up into older wide receivers in DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey, and they got a big, big, big hole at middle linebacker, which is a problem if you're facing Saquon Barkley twice a year and Ezekiel Elliott twice a year.
Well, who was the apple of their eye? If they were looking to move up, I got to assume
It was CeeDee Lamb, 100%.
Oh, it was. Okay, so I guess would it be safe to assume they probably called the Cowboys too at some point there as CeeDee slid?
Probably not.
You think that?
Were you just trying to be funny there with me, or were you just trying to aggravate me on a Friday afternoon before I get ready for round two?
Were you just trying to
needle me just a little bit, get me ready for our fantasy football on Sunday morning? What was that about right there?
I'm just curious. Do you think when the Falcons took AJ Terrell, how he kicked a can and said, "Well, there he goes to Dallas"? Is that how it worked? Oh man, I couldn't believe it last night when I was watching it happen. I couldn't believe CeeDee Lamb's fall. I thought for sure that the Falcons would be the place that the Eagles would jump up. I saw some message boards today going, "Do it, come on, Eagles." And then when the Falcons picked, I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. He's ours, not the Eagles.
Yeah, I know that they tried to move up. Clearly, they did. And it was tough. Everybody tried to trade last night. The trades were difficult to come by. You know, I reported on SVP the night before the draft. I was live with SVP on SportsCenter. I told them, you know, after Roger Goodell had that interview, the great interview that Mike Greenberg did on Get Up with Roger Goodell, where Goodell said, quote, "Everything's on the table regarding the opening of the season." A lot of coaches and GMs were telling me, and people were telling me around the league, that those comments, that one phrase, "everything's on the table," sort of got them aware in a big way of what COVID-19 means this summer. It means that they don't know what to expect, how abbreviated the off season is going to be, how much of an off season they will have. And you better be involved in roster construction. Like, you look at Jalen Reagor, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of people had a second or third round grade on him. He's had some drops. He's had some fumbles in school. But he's a punt returner. And Eagles don't have one. And they needed one. And so he fits a specific need. He may not have been the best overall receiver, according to some people, in relation to Justin Jefferson. But they left Jefferson on the table to be scooped up quickly by the Vikings because perhaps they really wanted a punt returner with some speed who could open up the field for Carson Wentz. So I think a lot of teams looked at, like the Giants. Giants have a big, fat hole at right tackle. Mm-hmm. So you can get one. He's there. You could have traded. You might have traded. Maybe the deals weren't good enough, but you filled a big, fat need. And, hey, now Andrew Thomas can walk into the building in East Rutherford, put on a helmet, and he's ready to play football.
All the teams that you cover for this draft, the Eagles, the Giants, the Ravens, the Jets, addressed what I would say is some of – I think they're the biggest need. By the way, Reagor, I'm not as down on as I got an Eagle fan that works on the show, and he said Philly radio's not that happy. I think Rager's good. He's fast, and Philly loves the fast receiver, the DeSean Jackson element to stretch the field for Wentz, and Reagor can definitely do that. We'll see if he catches it, but he will definitely stretch the field. A second round. Okay, so like I said, Giants got their offensive lineman, Andrew Thomas. Jets got their offensive lineman, Mekhi Becton. Ravens, it was Patrick Queen, right? It fits in perfectly. Linebacker. What happens in the second round for these teams? What's the biggest need now that you check those boxes off for those four teams tonight?
All right, let's go through them. Number one, we'll start with the Birds in Philly. They clearly need an edge rusher. They'd like to get depth on offensive line or another corner, and they can do that in the second round. Giants, take any position on the football field. The Giants were the only team, Will Kane, only team in the NFC that did not have a representative on the Pro Bowl. Miami Dolphins were the only team in the AFC. Giants, only team in the NFC. Pick a position, get a prospect high in the second round at any position you want. Pick the best possible play. You know, teams talk about how they grade out and they set their board. Pick one of those players, and it really doesn't matter what position, and the Giants can do that. Pretty much the same thing for the Jets. But the Jets really need a wide receiver.
Really
so
need
if
one.
The Jets are – huh? They do. No,
yes.
Absolutely. They do. They are death. They don't have a number one wide receiver. So, all right, mm-hmm. Joe Douglas promised Sam Darnold and his family he was going to protect Sam Darnold. Now go out and be the best friend of the quarterback, part two. Get him a receiver. As for the Ravens, they are one injury away from their starting running back. From being in the AFC Championship game, I believe. I think the Ravens need a bona fide, young, backup running back to go on a team that led the NFL in rushing attempts last year. I will be shocked. In fact, when I talked to Eric DaCosta, GM of the team, last week in preparation, he said, Sal, there are 7 or 8 running backs in the first 3 rounds of this draft that are plug-in and play in the National Football League. I said, okay, I'm paying attention. Thank you.
7 or 8, and that means there'll be one there for them when it's time their turn to pick. I mean, everybody's talked about Swift and Dobbins and Taylor. All are there available, but there's going to be somebody, if they like that many, still available for the Ravens. All right, and by the way, a lot of receivers for the Jets to solve their problems as well. There's still a lot of good receivers sitting there for them picking at the top of the second round. It'll be fun,
Sal. I know you watched the matchup show, and Greg Cosell said Taylor was the best running back in this draft. And he is still available, right? He's on the board. He's still there.
Yep, he's still there. Good stuff, Sal. I can probably – it's almost like I can envision CeeDee Lamb as an Eagle. I could see him in green, but, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Wasn't meant to be, I guess.
And I can really envision Harold Carmichael going into the Hall of Fame, too, in September. I hope you'll be there helping me commemorate that moment.
You know what? With Drew Pearson. How about that? Is that fair? Both.
Carmichael's already been voted in. Pearson's going to have to wait one more year.
It's just playing in the should game. Okay, all right, Sal. All right, man, I appreciate you. Always, thank you.
Thank you for having me on the show. Stay safe and healthy, brother.
You too, Sal. Take care. Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter and host of NFL Matchup here on The Will Cain Show. Hey, tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I got these two boys that want to know how you spell Burrow. Is it R-R-O-W or E-A-U-X? I don't get it, Dad. Will you explain it? Looking through my window as I broadcast here. Coming up, more small notes from the NFL draft, including, was Jerry on a spaceship last night? That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges, like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Get excited because we've got two more rounds tonight of the NFL draft, and honestly, they're the best two rounds. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. As the most unpredictable and unlikely essential piece of the Bulls dynasty, Dennis Rodman is virtually all Jordan can count on in the early months of the 97-98 season. With Phil Jackson seemingly the only coach who can steer this unique collection of talent to another title, management insists it's his final season in Chicago. Episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance premieres this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Hey, fellas, Nuno, Pat, Bubba, did you see Dennis Rodman on First Take? What was it, like a week ago? Did you see him hop on?
I know he was on, but I didn't watch it.
Well, he was wearing a Cowboys jersey, and he was real pleased with himself about it because he knew it would provoke Stephen A., right? He was wearing the number 54, and a lot of people were like, look at Dennis Rodman coming on to First Take, wearing a Jalen Smith jersey, provoking Stephen A. That's not what he was wearing. You know what jersey he was wearing?
Right.
What's
Randy
that,
White.
That's exactly right. I met Dennis a couple times, but the last time I saw him was at the South Street Seaport Studios back when they were open in New York City, and he was wearing that same jersey. And there he was with a Randy White jersey. And it's just, of course Dennis Rodman is wearing a defensive tackle from the 1980s. He does everything his own way, his own speed, his own ideas and pleasures. And of course he'd pick something that no one else. I mean, Randy White was great, don't get me wrong, but who would guess he's wearing a Randy White jersey? Dennis Rodman is a different dude. Definition of marching to the beat of his own drum. Last night in the NFL draft, there weren't just big moves. There were small things that should take notice as well. I laid out six of them for you a little bit earlier on the Will Cain Show, but here are some notes as well from last night that I found interesting. Here we go. First, the first offensive lineman taken off the board was at number 4 to the New York Giants. I said nobody predicted this. Nobody could have seen that one coming. He was nobody's pick for the top offensive lineman to come off the board. Nuno, you're the Giants fan. You were not displeased. You were not upset, but you were surprised. Do you know what the odds were on Andrew Thomas going number 1 among the offensive linemen?
It was something ridiculous where I know a lot of people were congratulating themselves on taking him.
Yeah, I want to know who won that. Somebody did. Darren Revelle tweeted out, somebody did make the bet, I believe.
No, buddy, I think Jeff Schwartz also had a couple shekels on it.
He did? It was 14-1, I believe, that Andrew Thomas would go first. And I don't know if my math's right here. I think it is. I think, according to Darren Revelle, somebody put $400 down on it. They came back with $5,600 after that bet right there, making Andrew Thomas the top offensive lineman in the draft. It was not Well predicted. That's number one. Number two, so when the Cowboys go on the clock, Jerry Jones is there, and I swear to you, I thought, is he sitting on a spaceship? Because everything is white. It's shaped spherical, rounded, and he's got two, like, translucent, not transparent, but translucent, like, circular portals on each side of him, like, to transfer him if he needs to, like, Scotty beam me up to go somewhere. On the edges of the screen, he's got his daughter, Charlotte, and his grandson, John Stephen. But I swear it looked like he was in a spaceship. Turns out he wasn't in a spaceship, or he was in a form of a spaceship. He was on his yacht. That's where he was social distancing, on his yacht. I don't know where the yacht was parked, but that's where he was drafting from last night. His, what's that yacht worth?
It's like $250 million. So is Jerry Jones Dr. Evil from Austin Powers?
I mean, I really can't say no.
As opposed to the other Dr. Evil, I guess?
Who's the other Dr. Evil?
I don't know. Why did he specify from Austin Powers?
Because what if you haven't watched Austin Powers, Mr. Fast and Furious boy?
Here we go. They're fighting again. Called him a boy. Jerry Jones broadcasting from a spaceship last night, but it was a spaceship in form of a yacht. Another one. Everyone made fun of Dave Gettleman last night because Dave Gettleman made the pick of Andrew Thomas, and then the New York Giants GM immediately put his mask on. It appeared like, whoa, Gettleman's dedicated. He's definitely in the pro-mask crowd. But as everybody was mocking him, because Dave Gettleman, he's, you know, this is how this works, especially social media. Once you get on the side of the easy to mock, well, they really don't. That's the thing about social media. It really is a collection of weak losers. It really is a mob of people that all go after one person when it's cool to go after them. I know I'm getting up on my soapbox, but that's what it is. They don't go after strong people. They go after the people that the collective has already decided is uncool. And then you can, it's, you know, you're not in charge of knocking them out. You're just one of the thousand punches that get to land on your punching bag, Dave Gettleman.
So you get made fun of on social media a lot, don't you?
I'm that guy, too.
So
yes,
you're uncool, it's basically.
I am definitely uncool on social media. Yeah. By the way, there's a theme on who's cool and uncool on social media. I don't want to be in your in crowd. Nuno, I'll let you handle this one because it was particularly upsetting to you. Dave Gettleman wasn't a moron, old man that didn't understand the mask stuff, right?
Correct. He obviously battled leukemia, no cancer, 2 years ago, and there was an IT person in his living room, so he was doing it for social distancing and to protect himself.
Yeah, he said he had a young IT person in the room with him. And was it leukemia or lymphoma? It was bad, whatever it was, the cancer he was fighting, making him vulnerable. So good job, mob. Once again, real strong. Flex. It's, you know, flexing. Yeah. Couple more notes. Start the draft, okay? Eight is when it was supposed to start. It was 8:20 before the Bengals were on the clock. And I get it, COVID-19, and we're all in this together, and we got to do a lot of different, you know, features and you know, heart. But we can do it. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes worth, right, of Harry Connick and everything. And I love everything. It was good. But come on. It's a 10 minutes per pick. And that means we're going to get started. Am I alone or am I being a jerk here? You know?
Yeah, both. No, like, especially when you know that who they're going to take. Like,
yes.
Let's get to, you knew the first two picks. Like, let's just get through them. There's not going to be any trades. And then you can do everything else after that. And just real quick, it was lymphoma. Just wanted to correct that.
That's one of the reasons I like the second and third round better. Not because of lymphoma, but because the clock speeds up and there's a little less to do about it all. We just get doing some drafting. Let's get it going. Two more notes.
Real quick, speaking of the second and third round, it does appear that Goodell would be the one giving us the picks, where normally he checks out after the first round. But obviously, there's nothing to do. He will be doing the second and third round.
Okay. Two more news and notes from last night. I didn't get a chance to research this today. I did a lot of research for the show. I did have a big, long interview with Tom Herman, the head coach of the University of Texas Longhorns, which we're going to post next week. I think you're going to like it. It's good. It's in depth. So I was busy this morning. But I saw this last night. Did you guys see this? When Joe Burrow left Ohio State, he wanted to go to Nebraska? I didn't know that. And he called Scott Frost, and Scott Frost was like, well, is he better than what we've already got? I need to put some research into that and let any of you guys know more about that. Are you telling me Nebraska could have had Joe Burrow and was like, thanks, but no thanks?
Correct. His whole family went to Nebraska. and they didn't recruit him. He offered his services. There was actually last week, there was a what-if scenarios that ESPN.com, their college football writers did, and one of them was, what if Nebraska had said yes to Joe Burrow?
Oh, my gosh. I love what-ifs, alternate histories, all that stuff, redrafts to see how the future could have been different, or the present could have been different. Wow, Nebraska. Wow, Scott Frost. What a miss. And then finally, because I love the draft, because I love college recruiting as well, quite honestly, it's probably because I love hope in general. I think it's always fun to revisit and see how far off or on we were, which draft picks were a hit, which were a miss 3-5 years down the road. Same thing with recruiting classes. I like looking back and seeing like whose big recruiting class worked out and whose didn't. So I think I found this note fascinating. This is a note from Barton Simmons. He's CBS Sports College Football National Writer, 24/7 Sports. He said, first round of the NFL draft, 32 picks. Only six players were not five or four stars ranked out of high school by one of the three major networks. So 26 were 4 and 5 stars by one of the big networks, Rivals 24/7, whoever it may be, ESPN. That's pretty interesting. It just shows. I want to dismiss recruiting all the time. Develop, develop, develop. Oh, man, you better be developing, but developing 4 and 5 star players. That's what the NFL is full of. Fascinating. All right, who are the best players left? I'm going to get you set up for the second and third round, who you should be looking for your team, the best names out there. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
The Miami Dolphins, perhaps without a lot of conviction, stumbled into the perfect quarterback. The Green Bay Packers, with a ton of conviction, just made a massive quarterback mistake. I'll explain coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. It's time for the second and third rounds of the NFL draft tonight. That means hope springs eternal. These are the two best rounds of the draft Friday night. Pour yourself a ranch water, tequila, a bourbon, an Irish whiskey, a beer. Sit back and let the picks wave over you. This is going to be fun, and there's a lot of big names out there. Let me go through some of them, some of my favorite players. I think you can get rich here in the second and third rounds. I think you can really, really set your team up for success. Give me a little pep music, Pat, and let me lay out for you exactly what I think teams should do in the second and third round. Let's start with edge rushers. This is going to be outside linebackers and defensive ends. There's some talent. There's some interesting dudes, okay? I'm going to give you three. First of all, friend of the show. You're friend of the show if you appear on the show, right? Etur Gross-Matos, defensive end, Penn State. Fascinating story. Did you realize that ABC was doing the College Game Day version, the human interest story version of the NFL draft? Hey, Pat, who doesn't like the draft, all of us here love it. He just said he was going to watch Twitch TV tonight.
I may.
Awesome. Watch somebody play video games instead of the draft. Maybe you should try ABC. That's where that's like the Good Morning America version of the draft. You can see human interest, you know, stories and prepackaged things. Maybe you should try that one out.
Maybe I'll just listen to our good buddies at ESPN Radio tonight.
Do that. You might hear something like my interview with Etur Gross-Matos, who has a great human interest story or a tragic one that's led him to where he is. He's good. Zach Bond out of Wisconsin. Outside linebacker, edge rusher, you want sacks? Zach Bond's going to be able to get them to you. And then there's A.J. Epenesa out of Iowa. Just brute strength. Mountain of a man. 6'5", 270. Defensive end, just brute force. All of those if you're looking for outside pressure. How about defensive back? I got both corners and safeties for you. Corner, Jalen Johnson, Utah. Most projections. I did a draft podcast. Deep dive. Those guys said first round, Jalen Johnson. And yet he's still sitting there. Trayvon Diggs from Alabama. Corner, Stephon Diggs' brother. He's still there. Super athletic. Not as refined. Needs to be shaped, but could be like big time if you can shape him. He's there. Christian Fulton from LSU and Cam Dantzler from Mississippi State. I like all of those cornerbacks. Keep going. Safety. This one's amazing. So what? No safeties were taken in the first round. So all your big time safeties are available. There's five of them that could have started going in the first round. And I'm betting some of these are going to fall to the third now because not everybody's going to value safeties and pick them high. Here you go. Alabama's Xavier McKinney, probably the number one. Minnesota's Antoine Winfield Jr. Remember his dad? Antoine Winfield, big time cornerback. Antoine Winfield Jr. is really good. The problem is he's short. He's like 5'9", but he's a playmaker. I don't care how tall he is. Make plays, I'd be happy. Grant Delpit out of LSU. Ball hawk, good. Doesn't tackle that well, but still, ball hawk. And two small school guys. Kyle Duggar. I don't even know how to say this. Is it Lenoir? Lenoir? Something? Help me out, Nuno. And Jeremy Chin from Southern Illinois. Athletics, feet, both of these guys. Translate to the NFL. Now linebacker. Isaiah Wilson was Bubba's pick to the Titans offensive line. Nailed it, right, Bubba? Logan Wilson, inside linebacker from Wyoming. Tackling machine. Tons of tackles. Athletic. Patrol your defense. Smart. You want a linebacker to be your quarterback on the that side of the ball, that's where you go. And then there's receiver, the deepest. Okay, this is where I don't think as many went in the first round as we thought, so you probably get some of these in the second and third round. Michael Pittman Jr. from USC, a lot of people like him. Denzel Mims, Baylor. Chase Claypool, Notre Dame, big. Maybe he ends up being a tight end. It's kind of interesting, a converted wide receiver to tight end. You get some athleticism at that position. Devin Duvernay from Texas. There are wide receivers, and I'm not even hitting all of them because there are so many good ones. Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan. So many good wide receivers. And in the running backs, you've heard from several people today, Sal Palantonio and others saying running back is stacked. You got DeAndre Swift from Georgia, J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. There's big names at the big positions sitting there in the second and third round, and I will leave you with quarterback. I don't know when they're going to start going this round, but it's Jake Fromm, it's Jacob Eason, it's Jalen Hurts. Those are your next three big ones. I don't know that anybody's going to be looking for a starter from one of these guys, but these could be your quarterbacks of the future behind whoever you're playing right now. That's what I'd be looking for in the second and third round of the NFL draft. I'm excited. I know for my team, I really like some of these guys. I know the Cowboys need defensive backs. There's going to be plenty to pick from. There you go. That's your preview for the second and third rounds of the NFL draft tonight. For the last 3 hours, four perhaps, I've been doing this show, and I'm going to tell you something. I told you before, I'm in the forest a little bit, in the woods, in the mountains. I guess it's a cardinal. So I don't know if I've offended Arizona and it's an omen. It's a beautiful red bird. Red beak. It's got the black mask, you know. He's been attacking my window, both windows. I got two windows in my office and he's banging his beak on the window. Then he flies to the other one and he bangs everything, his feet and his chest. And he's looking in. I mean, he's looking at me right now. He's dead-eyed me right now. Like he wants to fight me. Like if he could just get through this glass, he would kill me good. I don't know what he wants. If this office is supposed to be his, I don't know if he's got something important to tell me, but he's going to give himself brain damage if he keeps this up because it's been 4 hours from one window to the other. I don't know what these Cardinals.
Probably sick of hearing you talk about how great the Cowboys are going to be.
Listen, you got an offensive lineman, okay? That's what I've been trying to tell him for 4 hours. You're going to get collar protected. You're going to be all right. You know, you traded for DeAndre Hopkins, but he seems like he has something he wants to tell me. I bet his contribution to the show be better than yours, Pat. Maybe I'll open the window and find out. All right, who got the right guy? The Dolphins did, and the Packers didn't. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
The Dolphins stumbled into their guy. The Packers are another way to find a guy, and it might ruin both their guys. It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Hey, missing basketball? Tune in Sunday for an NBA classic, the Flu Game. Game 5 of the 1997 NBA Finals between the Bulls and the Jazz, presented by Home Depot. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Nate Maine has some advice for me on this damn Cardinal. He's right now doing it again, Nate. I'm looking at him. He's losing his mind. He might have already lost it.
Well, leave him alone. He'll give up.
Well, he's been at it. It's 5:45 Eastern. He started. I sat down here. I did an interview with Tom Herman at 12:45 Eastern. He was doing it then. So he's going on, what is that, 5 hours of this.
It's springtime, man. He's in heat. He sees his reflection, and he thinks it's another male bird, so he wants to fight it.
Do you think that's
what he's doing? Oh, absolutely. That's what he's doing.
Or is he trying to get on me? Does he see me in here, and he thinks I look pretty good?
Can't I don't think he's that smart, man. He's a cardinal.
I agree.
He don't care about you.
You think he sees his reflection, and he's trying to fight himself?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Cardinal fans do when they look in the mirror, too.
Hey, Cardinals, they're particular. Here he is again. Oh, my gosh. He's trying to get in this damn window. You know what he is? He's dumb then. Because he's sitting in these trees, and he's over here, and he sees a cardinal in the window. He's like, I'm going to go get it. No matter how many times he bangs into that glass, he keeps getting fooled. He's like I don't know what my perfect metaphor is, that kid. Like, he's got more toughness than he's got sense. That's what he's got. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, he's flexing his muscle. You open up your windows, I bet he flies away because, one, you're going to scare him, but then he won't see himself.
Mm. His nest is right outside. There is a nest right there, too. He's
beautiful. Man. Maybe he does want to get you if his nest is right there.
Mm. He's beautiful. All right, Nate, I appreciate the advice. Pat, did you want to follow up on Nate talking about this cardinal being in heat?
No.
You sure? Because you had some advice for all of us old guys. Do you want to give us some of that advice?
Google is your friend. That is all.
I mean, just when I think your villainry can't go any lower.
Biggest baby face on the show.
You're not. You're like this cardinal. You're a heel who has more. I don't think it's testosterone in your case. I'm not sure what it is. But some motivating, animating factor greater than your sense.
You know how we like to rank things? Like, it's everyone, you know, we know how people feel about you. Like, is Pat number two on that list of, like...
you really, really are shaping my public image in a way that's not correct, Nuno.
Right or wrong. Right or wrong, we know how people feel.
You think Pat...
number two, that's for sure.
On the villainry?
No, just...
I think people hate Pat more than almost anyone else on the show.
I think maybe more than me, don't you think?
It might be. Well, your audience definitely.
Tune in to episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance, premiere this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. The Last Dance preview is brought to you by State Farm. When it comes to insurance, State Farm's the real deal with over 19,000 local agents and award-winning mobile app. You get the help you need when you need it. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com. Miami Dolphins had Tua Tagovailoa fall to them at number 5 in the draft, and that's great. That's where he should be. Tua's going to be good, and the Dolphins are the right place for him. I think they like him, but I don't think they loved him. If they're willing to move up and trade up to get Joe Burrow, if they're willing to sell it all to get Joe Burrow, why wouldn't they move up to at least number 3 to secure Tua? All the smoke screens, all the misdirection, and that's good. They did a lot of things. They fooled a bunch of us to ensure that the Chargers didn't think they had to trade up if they wanted Tua. That's going to allow the Dolphins to tell us they're ultimate poker players and claim some victory. But the truth is, they couldn't have known. They couldn't have known whether or not the Chargers or anybody else were going to come up for Tua. So they were content taking the risk. They were content seeing if he'd fall to 5. And that tells you right there that they didn't love him like they loved Burrow. So they didn't have the conviction. But they got their man anyway. And it's going to show that conviction sometimes isn't what gets it done. Luck gets it done. And last, the Packers did have conviction. They traded up to get their guy, Jordan Love, to put behind Aaron Rodgers. Utah State quarterback Jordan Love will sit behind Aaron Rodgers. And I don't like their conviction. I think Aaron Rodgers is not going to be the best mentor. I don't think he's going to appreciate it. I do think he'll hold a grudge. And I do think it will have him looking beyond Green Bay for his future. And you know what's the worst part about it? The timing won't work for Jordan Love, because Rodgers is going to hold that job and hold it well for at least 3 years. That puts Jordan Love into the last 2 years of his contract. One, really, to see if he's worth anything before you got to pick up his fifth-year option and then extend him. He does need to sit, but sitting 3 years is too much. The timing is such, you got to get a guy that sits 1, 2 at the most. Aaron Rodgers is not going to let that guy get the job before his rookie contract is dang near up. The timing is off. The player is off in Jordan Love, in my estimation, and it's off for not just the franchise quarterback, but the legend you have already who's going to be looking beyond Green Bay. A conviction in Green Bay led them the wrong way. So Miami stumbles into their guy. Green Bay goes with purpose for their guy, and I like Miami's situation and not Green Bay's. Bobby in Atlanta, what's up, Bobby?
Yeah, hey, Will. I just want to give a quick call in, and I think Nuno's on to something here with Pat. You know, I think he might be trending towards the least likable guy in the show. I don't know what it's about. It's just seems kind of angry all the time. I don't know what it is. And this whole watching Twitch instead of the draft, I mean, that's just not acceptable.
Really quick,
that's,
Bobby.
That's enough from Bobby.
No, it's not enough. Don't you dare take him off. Are you there, Bobby?
Oh, I'm here.
If he takes you off, he's fired. Hey, you said least likable. Go ahead and rank us. You got Bubba, Mike A, Nuno, Pat, and myself. 5-1, quickly. Least to most likable.
I'm going to go with Pat last and then Mike second to last. Just because, I mean, I feel like those are a little bit of the newer guys. You know, I like the OG crew there. And, I'll give Nuno and Bubba, are close there. I'm big fan of both those guys and the banter you guys have. So, I'll give you number one. I don't know why, really, but I'll just give it to you. I listen to the show. But, Bubba, Nuno, big fans of those guys. And not to, give Mike and, Mike and the other guy a hard time. But
he doesn't even know my name. He's out. Clearly the drinking started early in Atlanta.
He said the other guy. Hey, who knew? I was most likable. Fathom that.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.